And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Afternoon, Melody. I guess you're doing okay. Lord bless me all day long. I know you're doing fine.
Oh, absolutely. I'm here. I woke up this morning, got out of bed. I'm a happy camper.
Well, you know, every time I wake up in a dry home in a warm bed, I'm blessed. I truly am. I'm blessed.
You betcha. And when I get to work with these wonderful people and have wonderful listeners and have wonderful clients, how much better can I get?
You know, I agree. I had a call from France yesterday, believe it or not. Listened to her broadcast and had a question. And I mean, from France. It's 2 o'clock in the morning there when they listen to my program. I thought, my goodness, I can't get people in here to listen at 8 o'clock live. But anyway, you go ahead.
Well, today there's lots to talk about today. And we're going to start off. Hopefully my computers don't freeze on me, and I do have an article about that, about how, you know, world governments are beginning to shut down internets, and it continues to increase as far as the shutdowns for governments, and it's something coming here too. We reported yesterday about you have your trading companies, your Fidelities, your Schwabs, your TD Ameritrade, slow computers, had zero balances on your accounts. You know, this is things that we've talked about, and I'm sure listeners are tired of hearing us repeating ourselves, but we've been talking about it since Y2K, and prior to, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. But, and gold today, after another, 900-point drop in the markets, weakness in the dollar, it's hard to believe that the last, 45 minutes of trade, they just whacked gold. So there's two scenarios that I can come up with. Number one, you had a lot of paper trading going on, and they took profits, and they're going to go back in after gold drops a little bit. Second, all government's money has been going into the gold market to keep it suppressed, and that's why you had a big down day in the paper markets. That money was transferred from the paper markets to gold. Government hates gold. Government hates consumers, citizens, to own gold. They don't want you to own it. They can't control you financially. And that's what it's all about. They can't be corrupt in their promotion of the fiat currency that they've created. And they don't want you to keep up with them. So anyway, gold right now down $27 in the New York spot price aftermarket at $16.33. Silver, they whacked silver almost 4%, 71 cents, $17.99. I think what they did is the paper traders, they went in there and whacked it, and I think they'll go back in, and I think they were pushing it up. And because what I saw, the premiums on coins and everything didn't reflect any panic buying or fear buying. And when you see markets go up like they did, I think they're going to reverse here shortly. I'll guarantee you they're going to reverse overnight, and I think we'll have a big day, both gold and silver, tomorrow. Platinum was down $40, down a little over 44%. Not 44%, 4% at 930. But yet palladium was up 2.3%. When you have the world's economy basically falling apart because of the blaming coronavirus, and you got an industrial metal, and that's usually used for vehicles, catalytic converters, and you had the auto industry in China for the first 2 weeks drop, 90% or something silly like that? Oh, doesn't make sense, does it? Palladium was up $58 at $27.45. Now the USDX was down 0.30, 98.98. Crude oil was down 1.67 at 49.76. And the paper markets today, for the most part, we still see some numbers coming through. You have the Dow down another a little over 3%, 879 points, at 27,081. You have the NASDAQ down to a little over 2.75%, 255 points, 8,965. You have the S&P down 3.03%, 97 points, 3,121. Now, the 10-year yield, that recovered. That was down in the, I think I saw it at 1.29. So it broke that, again, it hit another record low, 1.33%, down 0.05. Japan was down 3.33%. European markets were all down basically 2% on the day on their paper markets. So again, it's you're looking at the Dow tumbling 900 points. They're all pointing the fingers to the coronavirus, and people aren't talking about all the other things that are going on. Suddenly you have these new sudden increases in Italy, South Korea. Their markets tanked. Yesterday we had the Dow drop more than 1,000 points. And the news out today based on the coronavirus isn't all that good, is it?
No, it's not. And I got quite a bit of that to cover in a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of talk about it going on. I still think it's going to start dying off next month in the end of April. I do. I hope I'm right. But it doesn't look like it right now. It really doesn't.
Well, I believe the impact on the coronavirus is all economics. I believe countries were falling apart. I believe they were having trouble keeping things flowing. We've been talking for how long, Butch? This program, Monday through Friday, we talk about all the reports that are indicating, hey, things are slowing down.
That's right.
Things are going to start funneling through to the markets. So is the coronavirus just the catalyst to have these economies begin to fall apart? And I think once that happens, there's no stopping, because you're going to get into this trend and it's just going to continue to follow through. So even though the coronavirus might be gone, in a couple of weeks, the impact is significant.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No, so we'll get some details in a little bit, but this is a toughie. Back before when they talked about SARS and other so-called epidemics breaking out all the place, they were up and down in a matter of a couple of weeks. This has hung on for a while, and it keeps bringing in headlines all over the world. But we'll cover some things in a minute about that. What's going on in Italy and different things. And store bought foods are disappearing off the shelves. So, I mean, I'm talking about not the grocery store, but store bought foods. We'll discuss that in a minute, because it could be getting beyond what I think is going to happen. But I'm praying I'm right, and by end of April, this is going to be a thing of the past, at least for the disease. Economically, Melody, I don't see this turning around economically. I do not see this whole world, not just America, I don't see this going on much longer. With this fiat bubble they keep calling an economy. It's not an economy. It's not a real economy. It's like it's not real money. It isn't. It's all built on paper and currencies, and it can't go on forever. It's going to come to a head. And I think we're seeing the beginnings of this earthquake financially. What do you think?
What bothers me, and it's part in reaction to governments around the world, their reaction to this. President Xi in China said, spare no effort in fighting this virus. So I don't know if we're not, and we know governments don't tell us the truth. So it's really difficult, and yet we know they can make things worse than what they actually are for whatever reason. So I don't know, Butch. And again, I can't focus on the virus. What I do know is billions of dollars are being spent on a vaccine. they're going to start testing humans in 6 weeks or less.
Well, that,
here
that
in the United
that in
States,
itself is a, that in itself is a boon for a lot of people, especially the pharmaceutical companies, and for those who write the patent, whether it be the CDC or whoever, that's a big boon financially for them. But you can't trust the government. If they tell
you
it's
can't.
Horrible, they may be lying to you to make you so afraid you'll do what you're told to do. Or if they say it's nothing, they may be covering up so they keep you calm up a little longer. You can't trust them. When you've been lied to so many times, even if you tell them the truth, you can't trust them. And that's
so
just the way
know.
It's been.
But, so I'm not quite sure. I mean, the CDC, I mean, they're certainly going out above and beyond, telling Americans to start readying for an outbreak.
Yes, they are.
Larry Kudlow comes out and says, oh, no, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. But, I mean, for the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, you're right, somebody's making money on it, but they're going to lose more money everywhere else, so I'm not really quite sure. But they're warning Americans to prepare for a coronavirus outbreak at home that could lead to significant disruptions of daily life.
Well, you know,
as I said, the White House downplayed that.
They did. They did.
Congress was told that there's a shortage of masks needed for health workers. New cases were how hard is it to make masks? New cases were reported in Europe. Iran reported a total of 15 deaths.
Well, you know what happened in Italy, of course. I mean, the store shelves were bare. I mean, they're really, I guess, we're saying in a panic mode a bit in Italy. And listen to the power hour today, and the man of food, Daniel Brinkman, he's flat out telling people that he's running out of food. Most of the most popular ones, of course. But an investor and Bedrock founder, Jeff Lewis, is asking for advice on stockpiling food and other illustration of how the spread of coronavirus is driving fears of shortages. I mean, we have top investors asking us how to store food. Is that for real? I don't know. But I know China is trying to get people back in the shops. They're even flying workers in across the country to come in and try to man the industry to get it open back up. And they got, you know, like 60 million people quarantine now across the country. And I've heard up to 100 million or more. But they're trying to get people to go back to work in the factories to make smartphones and toys and other things they're working on. And now even in Spain, a Spanish hotel has locked down some guests because of the pending doing a test on it to make sure that this isn't coronavirus is seen there. And WHO, WHO warns the rest of the world not prepared for virus spread. WHO warns the rest of the world is not ready for the virus to spread. Italy hotel in lockdown after first coronavirus case in Liguria. First case in Switzerland. First case in Australia. First case in Spain. Iran deputy health minister infected with COVID-19. So I don't know. It's certainly making a lot of headlines. And people are paying attention. I think they should. And I think everyone, whether this is real or not, should be storing some food. I mean, this is common sense, people. Whether this is big or not, stored food is a wise decision. Stored food. A water filter. We offer the Berkey through our ministry. That's the best gravity-fed filter, bar none. We offer those at a call decision or ministry. And even guns and ammo to protect yourself from marauding thieves when this, if this would come to fruition. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but on your car, not because you want to have a flat tire, but just in case you do. You carry insurance on your house, not because you want to burn down, but just in case it does. Preparation is common sense, whether things are good or bad, because we don't know what's going to happen by man-made catastrophes or natural catastrophes. It can happen. And preparation is common sense given to us by God Almighty, who created us. He even taught the squirrels and the other animals to put up food for the wintertime and hard times. Melody, this to me, if to not be prepared all the time, at least a few months worth of food put back and some way to feed your family, and all the time, not just now, To me, that's insane.
And there's lots of sensible ways.
Sure.
I don't think people need to go out and spend, you know, $20,000 on food and so forth. There's lots of ways that you can get canned foods, foods you use, foods you store. You can get rice. You know, freeze your rice.
Beans and rice keep forever. Yeah, beans and rice keep forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy things. They're not hard. It's not hard to do.
Someone told me that you freeze your rice. It keeps the bugs out. So there's lots of things that you can do. So, and it's just common sense, really. It's just common sense to make sure. And I can remember, Butch, my mother. She always had. She was a baby of the Depression. And she always had this thing that she had to have her freezer full. I mean, it could be, you know, 3/4 full, and she says, well, I got to go shopping, get food. And I was like, well,
yeah, I understand
it's full,
that too.
It's almost full.
Yeah.
And I never put it together until later on, and I think it was all because, you know, she was a Depression baby, and freezers were empty at that point in time. You know, the only thing they could grow, you know, there was a lot of, I guess they had to have, you know, coupons for sugar and butter and things like that.
Sure.
So it does, but generations have changed.
Even
we live in a world where everything is at our fingertips.
We become more dependent.
We've never had a bad day.
We become more dependent.
Yeah.
We become more dependent on others. We haven't. We haven't. Going hungry, actually, give somebody once in a while to let them know, appreciate what you have. Growing up, you and I grew up in a time where our moms canned everything, get their hands on. My mom would can everything out of the garden. We picked berries. She'd make jam. We picked greens. She'd freeze the greens. We did this. This is part of our growing up. And now, in the last 40 years, maybe longer, maybe 50 years, that's kind of died off, hasn't it? People no longer do that.
No, people don't do that because it's just easier to drive through to get your food and so forth. And, you know, we're different generations. But, you know, we live in a country that haven't had a bad day, and it also comes back to your finances.
Amen.
You know, what are you going to do? What if you have your retirement account? You will lose. Can you change your standard of living by 70%? That's a pretty big, drastic change.
I'm going to share an article in a minute about Social Security and what's not going to be there for the young folks, and I will share that. It's very well written, about a 2-minute read or less. Very well written. But Melody, can you remember back growing up when your mom would make strawberry preserves and make a fresh biscuit, put it in the middle of winter, take like summertime and wintertime. Remember that?
My mother didn't cook.
Your mom didn't do that?
She did. Oh. She cooked dinners. Yeah, she was one of the beginning trends of where the wife would take on a part. She had a part-time job, and she was always there for dinner.
Right.
We always had dinner and so forth, and we took lunches to school. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And let's see, gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen. We've had this big pullback, and I think it's going to be short-lived. We have another day like today. The markets, early morning trade, you had the stock market, you had the Dow up over 100 points. And they couldn't keep it. And there was some good news. I was telling Butch, you did have housing prices for the month of December. They increased. Isn't it great? We often talk about there are no affordable housing in this country, so now you have home prices increasing 3.8%. It's great if you're selling, terrible if you're buying. And people living in their cars now, they can't afford homes because they're so expensive. So I guess that was some good news. Oil falls for third day. So we should have, maybe we'll see some lower gasoline prices, but they've been pretty steady. It doesn't really matter, it seems, anymore what oil does. Gasoline prices just kind of stay put. And there was consumer confidence. I saw a report on that earlier today. And, that's kind of, it's a little bit weaker, but not much. I'm sure it'll be a lot different next month's consumer sentiment. And I think that's, all the news, Butch, has been on, the coronavirus. A little bit of the news has been on the election. I guess there's another debate tonight, and everybody's talking about how they should behave themselves, and that's just kind of bizarre. That's bizarro land as far as it comes with the Democrats. Doomsday Vault, they stock up on 60,000 more food seeds. I don't know what that's about. I figured they had everything in there as they needed to begin with. Where do you come up with 60,000? That's a lot.
That is a lot.
I didn't realize there was that much food in the world, different types of food in the world. That comes from seeds. I don't know. I guess
let's
there's...
Let's hope they're non-GMO seeds also. That'd be great.
I guess there's a lot of seeds, but I didn't know there, plants and so forth that come from seeds, but I didn't know we ate everything. Anyway.
Well, I offer a little book through here, and I got to say this. I'm not advertising a book, although we do have it to ministry called Backyard Medicine. You'd be surprised, Melody, what's in your backyard that you can eat and use for medicine. I mean, things, well, I grew up knowing some things like watercress and mint and briar tips and maple shoots and things that you could, and ramps and different things that you could, pick and eat in the springtime and then some during the summer. But you'd be surprised what our God put out there that we can actually eat that's natural and good for you and also heals the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I mean, so our God created a lot of good things. If we don't screw it up, if we hadn't screwed up, we could have had a lot of good things. But now we have corn that's never corn like it used to be 100 years ago. Our wheat is not like it was 100 years ago. It's all been GMO modified and messed with. But our God gave us a lot of things. And I want to give a testimony, too, about you, Melody, if you don't mind, and what you've done to bless me again here, as you have in the past. If you don't mind me doing that. Is that a go or no? Okay. Well, folks, I've heated my home. I've been blessed to do this with a wooden coal furnace wooden coal stove ever since I've been married, going on 49 years. I have some propane backup, and that's, I have that, but I've heated the house with wooden coal because it's inexpensive. I got wood on my own property, and I got coal for a little bit of nothing. But I'm getting older, 71 years old now. I still can do it. I still do. I still heat the house wood and coal mostly. But one day I may be going to get too old. I may be going to leave Marcia here. So over the years, I managed to put back a little bit of silver and gold. For reasons, for one of these reasons, for older, from times I get older and things get a little harder as far as taking care of the things I used to do. So I'm fixing to cash in some coins to Melody to put in a propane furnace and a heat pump with air conditioning and heat. And thanks to Melody Seastrom telling me these things years ago, and her being able to buy it back right now at a much increased price from when I bought it, I'm going to have the house heated, Melody. And God forbid something would happen to me, Marcia would be taken care of, and that's a load off my mind. Or something happened, I couldn't get out and do what I do now. It'd be a load off my mind. But because I listen to you and Bob Chapman and some other people, Melody, I can afford to do that at this time in my life and still not be behind and in debt doing it. That is a blessing, is it not?
It is.
You know, and I want to thank you for being there. And you never, ever, ever question the fact if I want to sell back something to you, you bought it back on the spot. Now, I appreciate that. And I hope people out there understand what I'm saying. Hope they appreciate it too, because Melody, you're a straight shooter. You really are. You do what you say you're going to do. You're a straight shooter. I want to give a testimony, folks. I'm excited. This time next year, I have a propane furnace and a heat pump for air conditioning and heat both. And all this because of gold and silver that I purchased, oh my gosh, since 1990s, over the last 30 years. And it's just so good to know that that's there and available to take care of me and Marcia Jean as we get older. And if something happened to me, it'll be there to take care of her. Now, Melody Seastrom, thank you for being there. And I mean that with all my heart. I know I give you a hard time and tease you a lot, but I do appreciate you.
Well, gee, thanks.
Well, I mean that. Now I'll move on. Enough of that mushy
stuff. I'm really blushing.
Well, I meant what I said. But you're talking about the elections, and we got other things to talk about here, but Bloomberg is not very well liked by a lot of people, including his fellow Democrats. But Bloomberg offices in Chicago vandalized with oligarch graffiti, campaign blame Sanders rhetoric. Nevertheless, Mike Bloomberg's campaign offices was vandalized on Sunday night, with the former New York City mayor's campaign quickly heaping blame for the graffiti on the rhetoric of Democratic presidential primary rival Bernie Sanders. They put on their words like oligarch, racist, sexist, and GOP, spraying it all over in red paint across his office building and windows. It's really getting nasty when you attack your own side in the building. The Democrats attacking their own people, and they're scared to death that he might make some headway. But the others are afraid Bernie's going to get elected, and he's going to take away the centralist support. We'll say that the middle Democrats, the ones that want to stay in the middle of the road, but Bernie's so far to the left, they are in chaos, are they not?
You know, they really are. And what was interesting is a couple of these past primaries or caucuses, whatever you want to call them, they were talking about the number of people that were actually showing up. And I mean, there's more supporters for President Trump showing up.
There are, much more.
Than the amount of Democrats. So they might be getting the popular vote amongst themselves, but I don't think they're getting the popular vote against Trump. So you're right. I mean, it's like they're chewing each other's tails off, and it really is amazing. And it amazes me how they're actually, it would be so easy, you would think, to eliminate the threat of a Bernie Sanders as a competitor. I mean, just attack the financial, the trillions of dollars. But people want them to tax the wealthy. They think it's a good thing. And it's just like the thinking in this country anymore is just bizarre. I mean, I was listening to Rahm Emanuel this morning. I can't. I have a really hard. It was difficult. It was very difficult. He was on some program promoting his book, you know. I mean, he's just... Anyway, he's talking about when he was mayor of Chicago that he got this universal K what is it called, K-Care, Universal K-Care completed, and, you know, this was great and so forth, and that was a great program. I'm thinking, yeah, Chicago's falling apart. They can't pay their bills.
That's right.
And you're giving away free K-Care or whatever it was? I mean, how? And who's paying for that? Not the ones that are killing each other.
And the people leaving the state because they can't afford to live there. The city is dying. I mean,
well, who'd
literally
want to live there?
Apart.
You can't walk down the street without being shot.
Nope, but I don't understand that because no guns are allowed there. How can that be? There are no guns there.
So
anyway,
I mean, it just baffles me how they're just letting Bernie kind of ride the wave unless he is the elected one.
Well, we're not that far away from the election. We'll see what happens between now and then. Who knows what can happen between now and then? I mean
as far as being the elected one within the Democratic Party, he's the chosen. Yeah, he's the chosen one.
Well, time will tell. But I do want to share this article, just a brief paragraph or two. And this is really, I guess you could say right out, the scriptures mark the beast technology. MasterCard has a new idea. They want to identify you by your heartbeat, veins, and walking stride. Now, folks, this is for real. The payment provider is investigating innovative behavioral biometrics such as gait, face, heartbeat, and veins for cutting-edge payment systems of the future. Commuters may soon be able to ditch their bus pass to access public transport with technology identifying them by the way they walk. MasterCard is working with transport firms to develop a new system that would authenticate passengers by their gait. The payment provider told MarketWatch that everyone has a unique walk, and it's investigating innovative behavioral biometrics such as gait, face, heartbeat, and veins for cutting-edge payment systems of the future, like I said. Now, that's a little bit on the spooky side of the Mark the Beast technology, where they identify you by your facial scan, by the veins in your hand or whatever, and by the way you walk. That's pretty intrusive in my mind. I don't know how you think about that, Melody, but I think it's pretty intrusive.
Well, I mean, look at Fitbit. Look at the popularity of Fitbit.
Sure.
Look at your cell phones. Your cell phones already track what you walk, what your heartbeat is. They're
That's
already
right.
tracking all that. So for
yes, they are.
A credit card company to come in and pay these companies, you know, a fee so they can have access to that information and so forth, it's not a giant leap.
That's a problem. It's called creeping incrementalism. Everyone accepts it a little bit at a time. It's like the DMV now has been caught selling your biometric information to companies out there that want to know who you are and what you buy and all about you. Folks, this is for real stuff. This is Mark the Beast technology at its best. But we got into it on our own for convenience sake. We did, folks. Start with credit cards and direct deposit and everything else. All that's part of it. I was thinking this morning, Melanie, I was going out the door to run some chores. Had my phone in my pocket. I'm thinking, they're tracking me. They know where I'm going. They know when to stop. If they want to know it, they can. Or if I get a phone call, they know it. So everywhere you go is already, as you say, tracked and traced. They know where you are, do they not?
They do.
So this is another step in the direction of a complete and total control. And I guess you say, it's like tracking cattle once that's been branded, only this is electronic. It's the same idea. Same idea. But I got an article here that I think you said it and I've said it, but I think it's important to share. It's not that long. Why young Americans shouldn't count on Social Security. The first recipients of Social Security program took out far more than they put in. Generation Z and millennials face a much different scenario. Ponzi and pyramid schemes are defined as fraudulent investing scams that promise high returns with little risk to investors. In order for these types of schemes to work, an influx of new investors is needed for the funds to be available to pay the old investors. When someone claims their Social Security benefits are their money that they put in, they are technically wrong. America's Social Security program has displayed the same characteristics as these schemes because Social Security recipients are not paid with the money that the government deducted directly from them and their past employers. Instead, that money was used to pay the benefits for past retirees, while current retired recipients are getting their money through Americans who are currently working and contributing to the system. In other words, when someone claims that the Social Security benefits are their money they put in, they're technically wrong because their money was used to pay someone else. Social Security first began as a dream proposed by Franklin Roosevelt in 1934 that was inspired by social insurance programs of Europe. Now listen, you got the example from a socialized Europe, people. You hear that? Social insurance program out of Europe. The idea was simple. Everyone chips in so that the widow, disabled, and elderly can have a monthly stipend to provide them with some economic security when their ability to work and earn is limited. The Social Security Act was passed by Congress in 1935. Deductions started to be taken out of wages in 1937 to build up the fund's reserves. And in 1940, the first beneficiaries began to collect their monthly checks. Social Security Administration proudly boasts that Ida May Fuller was the first American to receive benefits from the program. Born in 1874 and retired in 1939, Mrs. Fuller was vaguely aware that for the past couple of years she was having money deducted for Social Security. The first recipients of the Social Security program took out far more than they put in. So she visited an office to see what it was about and filed for benefits. In January 1940, check number 000001 was issued to Miss Fuller for an amount of $22.54, which is equal to more than $400 in 2020. During Mrs. Fuller's working lifetime, she contributed a total of $24.75 in the program. She will go on to live another 35 years and collect $22,888.92. That's a return of 924 times. The overwhelming majority of Mrs. Fuller's Social Security benefits were not paid by her, but instead came from workers in the American workforce between 1940 and 1975. So you can see, Melody, that this again is a Ponzi scheme. And it's based on the ability for someone below you to pay what they have to pay to keep you going, and the Ponzi schemes always collapse sooner or later, don't they?
They do. I think this is a country built on Ponzi schemes.
I think you're right. But that is not that's a very good article. I mean, she drew up 930 times what she paid into it, and of course the ones who were working to pay her had people after them working to pay them. So it's been going on that way since the beginning of Social Security. There's never been a Social Security trust fund. It's not there. And the quicker we learn that, the more we realize that this is not dependable. And adjusted for inflation, how much have we lost anyway by working Social Security? I mean, her first check was $24, equal to $400 today. So how much we lost in inflation over the years that we think we're getting back in extra money, but the money's worth less. So these are all Ponzi schemes, people. They do come to an end.
And what's coming to an end is the second segment of this program. We'll be right back for the third segment. Please stay tuned. One more time. Oh, would you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I just want to make the announcements. Tomorrow I'll be back with Wendy Wilson and, of course, Dave Allen. On Thursday, we have Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com joining us. Friday is a James Corbett, my conversation with James Corbett on Friday. So I'm looking forward to all of those programs, as I look forward to all of them every day, every week. And so make sure you put them on the calendar. And, you know, Butch, oftentimes we talk about the various news reports, the numbers that we're seeing from credit card defaults to automobile defaults to... We always go back to 2007 and 2008.
Right,
these are the numbers
right.
We haven't seen since that time. Well, you know, today the S&P fell about 3%. And the last time the S&P fell more than 3% 2 days in a row was in November of 2008. So these numbers do mean something. And regardless of what it's based on, again, we're back to 2008 when you have markets that dropped to the same degree in 2 days. So,
well, it's down essentially 2,000 points in 2 days, right? Is that about right?
Yes.
So, how many hits like that?
Including with Friday.
Yeah.
With Friday in 2 days, yeah, we're looking at about 2,000 points.
That's quite a drop. Quite a drop. You know, where's it going to end? I don't know. Maybe it'll turn around tomorrow. I don't see it happening, but I do look for gold and silver to take another spike. I may be wrong with that too, but I don't think so.
Well, I think the only reason you're now beginning to hear all of this vaccine talk and so forth is to calm the markets. I think that's part of it. If this is a for real deal, I think the talks of vaccines and everything is trying to calm the markets. But gold, the precious metals didn't act right today. I mean, it just didn't act right.
Well, I do think it's going to switch back around again. I mean, you're talking about things getting a little tougher. Everybody knows who Expedia is. I would assume they do.
Yeah, thousands.
Yeah. They're laying off 3,000 workers and they expect to save between $300 million and $500 a year in cost savings. They're laying off 3,000 jobs and 500 of them being in the Seattle headquarters. So that's a big hit. That's about 12% of the workforce. That's a lot of people. And on top of that, and this really shocked me. I knew they was having a hard time, but I didn't know it was this bad. GE cut 78,000 workers in 2019 amid stabilization effects to thwart bankruptcy. I didn't know that they were that bad off. While it's too early to write an obituary post for GE, certainly this iconic American company, and once darling on Wall Street, has stumbled towards the brink of failure. I got to make this comment. GE and General Motors and Ford, man, all of them were just absolutely, they couldn't fail. And, of course, back in the 80s, I think it was, Chrysler got on welfare for a while to pull their stuff out. So this is not good to see. GE has been a corporate shipwreck for the last decade, where infamous Madoff whistleblower Harry Markopoulos warned in late 2019 that the company's cash situation is a lot worse than the company's filings would suggest. Markopoulos said the accounting fraud that GE has conducted would be more significant than Enron and WorldCom combined. Wow. GE CEO Larry Culp came aboard in 2018 to save the company and sell off business units to raise cash and stabilize cash flows to steer the corporate ship away from bankruptcy. To make GE great again, the Wall Street Journal has learned that 78,000 employees, or about 25% of the workforce, were fired in 2019. At the end of the fourth quarter of 2019, GE had 205,000 global workers, down to 283,000 over the last year. Its U.S. workforce from 97,000 down to 70,000, and lost 17,000 jobs. The journal notes the number of jobs GE has in fourth quarter 2019 is the lowest amount since World War II, Melody. And that's been a while back, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I mean, we're talking about 1945. Mm-hmm. That's when the war ended. We're talking about 75 years ago, roughly. And they're the lowest amount since 75 years ago. And GE was, wow, I want to say. I mean, that's amazing. 78,000 workers. Any comments on that?
No, I mean, it's just a sign. And these multinational corporations, they really became spoiled. They never had to compete. They always had governments, you know, behind them and Wall Street and everything. And, you know, and again, they made promises and now they can't pay. You get into debt and debt and more debt and more debt. And then they have debt they can't pay. And the next thing you know, I think what they do, you know, they continue to throw money at the problem. The problem doesn't get better instead of really addressing the problem. It's no different than what our government is doing. They're just throwing money at the problem instead of fixing the problem.
Yes.
Because they don't make money fixing the problem. They don't
Very
get
true.
To take your liberties by fixing the problem. And they've taken us down this path that, you know, heck, there was no way we could turn it around, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we went past that point. So we can't grow ourselves out of our problems. We can't grow ourselves out of our debt. Where that debt finally bites us, I don't know. I don't know how much they can print until the cows come home, but they're going to do it. I mean, you already have everybody, and now all of a sudden we're concerned about inflation. I mean, it's just like, it's such a joke, but it's not a joke when it comes to people's livelihoods. It's not a joke when it comes to people's standard of living. It's not a joke. But
well, what's happened with the repo market? I haven't heard anything about that lately. Are they still pumping billions into the bank system?
Well, you know what? They started cutting back on February 14th. So, you know, it kind of makes you wonder if the drop in these markets had anything to do with that. No one's talking about it. I reported on it a couple times. They started cutting back in certain areas on February 14th. It was a Friday. And now it makes me question.
Go ahead. Did they cut back a substantial amount, or what did you do?
Pretty much. If they were pumping $30 billion in one area, they were cutting it back to like 10.
Ooh, that's a big cut.
Mm-hmm.
That may be what you're
seeing.
I
don't have all the exact numbers right in front of me. But that starts, so is the market fallout based on that? I'm sure it didn't help.
Maybe,
but I'll guarantee if they showed numbers now, I'll guarantee you, you know, if they show the numbers of what they did, you know, in the last couple of nights, makes you wonder what they might do. I don't know.
Well, you know, you have to wonder, too, if they finally come to a little bit of common sense and realize they can't do it forever, or do they want it to start going down like this? Maybe it would affect the election? These are questions, I go through my mind. I mean, why would they want to bring the economy down hard like this? Why would they stop the repos all of a sudden? There are reasons behind this that we're not privy to. But as you know, nothing happens by chance in politics. You know that.
There's no such thing as a coincidence.
Only time will tell on this. But I was wondering about that myself. I knew they cut back, but I didn't know cut back quite that much. Maybe they decide there's no point in trying to pump life into a lifeless body. It's not going to receive it. I don't know. All these questions I don't have the answers to. But I just know the markets took a huge hit. And whether gold receded some today, but gold's went up, what, $200 in the last 2 months?
It's gone up a lot, and that's why I think a lot of it, because I can see it in, you know, some of the way the coins are priced, the premiums and so forth. I think there was a lot of paper being flooded into these markets, and I think they just took profits. I think they took profits, and I think they're going to, you know, flood it again. And I think the gold and silver will come back. But I think that's exactly what happened. I think what we experienced, a $24 drop in gold today, was a lot of it was profit-taking and manipulation.
Well, no doubt. No doubt. And you probably saw this article, too, that ex-McDonald's
CEO... Let me just say one thing.
Oh, go ahead.
When I say profit-taking, I don't mean physical gold and silver. I'm talking paper. You know,
they're just cashing in, so to speak.
Yeah, they're paper contracts.
Right, right.
And rebuying. They're probably canceling out their paper contracts and buying physical gold.
If they're smart, they are.
Mm-hmm.
If they're smart, they are. But ex-CEO of McDonald's said a few things that I think is kind of interesting. Said, Democrat plan for minimum wage just isn't workable, says McDonald's ex-CEO. A proposal from Democrat presidential candidate Tom Steyer to increase the federal minimum wage to $22 per hour would body slam the economy, according to a former CEO of one of America's major corporations. Earlier this month, Steyer proposed increasing the federal minimum wage, which is currently $7.25 per hour, to $22 per hour, according to Fox Business. Other major Democratic presidential candidates have lined up behind $15 minimum wage, according to the Washington Post. Ed Renzi, a former CEO of McDonald's USA, went off on Steyer's proposal during a recent appearance on Fox Business show Mornings with Maria. It will put small businesses out of business. It will be derogatory to job growth in every way possible, Renzi said, calling a $22 minimum hour wage absurd. Renzi says small businesses are vital to the economy. In fact, small businesses employ 47.3% of the private sector workforce, according to the Small Business Administration. You know, Melody, that's so insane. $15 an hour is insane, but $22 an hour?
I mean, you know what the sad
really
thing
think
is,
it's going
to
fly? What's that?
You know the sad thing is? It's still not a living wage.
I know that it is a sad thing, but if they make it law, it'll put more behind. There'll be less of a living wage.
I mean, that's $3,800 a month. You take $800 out of that for taxes and stuff, so you got $3,000. Home payments, hey, it just increased. Housing prices just increased. You know, your mortgage is what on an average home, medium home, $1,500-$1,800 a month.
I don't think anybody can afford that. But, you know, minimum wages cause inflation. We already know that. It causes less jobs, especially for the young people. We already know that. So I don't know if these so-called candidates for president are that stupid, they can't understand that, or they know what's going on and want to increase it. I have no idea. But the proof's been out there for a lot of years that minimum wage costs inflation. It ends up hurting everybody, including the ones who get the minimum wage. I was one time when I was younger behind it because I thought it was a good thing. Then I started studying the results of it for a lot of different reasons. It's not a good thing. And I would like to think that people that are running for president of the United States would have enough sense to see that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that just, to me, it's just common sense.
We would need a minimum wage if we had real money.
Oh, yes. It's very true. Very, very true. If people made $100 a week of real money, that's compared to what? $2,000 a week today of paper money.
Yep.
Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
I mean, folks, think about that. $100 a week of real money, a silver dollar, worth about $20 now. It's $2,000 a week in paper currency. So this is why we have inflation. This is why they have minimum wages. We haven't got any money. We have currency. Currency is not money. Money is gold and silver. That's biblical and that's constitutional. So go figure. Go ahead, Billy. I'm just looking at some other articles here. I just reading here about the German economy also is hurting. This is worldwide.
Are.
I mean, the economy said that a standstill in the fourth quarter. Shrinking exports held back Germany's economic activity in the fourth quarter of last year, detailed data showed on Tuesday, confirming that Europe's largest economy was stagnating even before the coronavirus outbreak began. Germany's export-dependent manufacturers are being hit by a slowing world economy, increased business uncertainty linked to tariff disputes, and Britain's exit from the European Union. Europe's largest economy, folks, is slowing down. What does that mean for the rest of them? It's not good. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the truth. It isn't just the United States. It's worldwide. It's not just China and Italy. It's Germany. It's everywhere. And I don't see it turning around because people don't seem to really care enough to get involved. And the politicians certainly are not going to talk about it because they might lose a vote. It's just the way it is. Well, then it breaks my heart because it could be fixed. It would hurt. It would hurt now to fix it. It would hurt terribly. But it could be fixed for our children and grandchildren, couldn't it?
Yes, it could.
And we become so selfish. We think about ourselves and not our children and grandchildren. We're putting them further and further in debt. They don't have a chance of paying the debt off. We don't either. And went back selling currency and do what was right, they would have a life perhaps far better than we can understand. It would hurt us, it would benefit them. That's my speech for the day on that.
Okay. And you ended just in time.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, this time. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Great show, great program today. I want to thank each and everyone for joining us. And we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here again with Dave Allen, Wendy Wilson. And Thursday, we have Greg Hunter. And Friday is my conversation with James Corbett. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.